You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now, stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ures with Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. I'm so excited about the word of God. I'm excited about God. I really love him, to tell you the truth. And I'm so thankful that you are here this afternoon just to go through this series with me, you know, teach me how to pray. And I believe that as we go through this word, I believe that this will be inspirational to you and lift you and take you to that next level in your life as far as like your relationship with God. It's important that we pray. Amen. Well, before we get into the word of God, I also just want to kind of let you know that you are invited every Sunday at 10 o'clock to come and worship with us at Maranatha International. We are a church of worship with the word and healing, and I definitely know that if you come and just join in one of our services, you definitely will be blessed. Have a chance to pray with you, pray for you, and to declare the blessings of the Lord upon you. Well, before we get into the word of God, I also would like to encourage you to go on our website. That's Maranatha Inter, M-A-R-A-N-A-T-H-A, inter.org. And you can actually see our vision, our mission statement, and what we are all about. And I also encourage you to come and to sow into this ministry. This is a very good ground. It's important that you sow your seed into the proper ground, because it's a ministry that's going to help the community, a ministry that's going to help the people that are around us. And I believe that God has his hand upon this ministry, a ministry of integrity and a ministry of character. Right now we're looking for a church building of our own. And those that are out there that has the means, hey, give me a call, 561-383-6574. And say, hey, Pastor, I do have a building that I have not been using. I can use it for the kingdom of God. So give us a call, and I believe that that God has something in store for each one of us, and I believe that God wants us to be focused on what he's focused on, and that is souls. So give me a call when you get a chance, 561-383-6574. Well, as you know, we've been talking about Teach Me How to Pray, and I believe that we've been going through a segment where we're talking about the hindrance of prayer. But before we get into that, we're going to pray. And one thing I just want to kind of learn, I know we're talking about Teach Me How to Pray. We have to understand that God is a holy God. He's our Adonai. He's our Elohim. He's our Abba Father. That's a term that says that he's a dear papa. You know, when I was growing up in Jamaica, I called my father Dai. it was a special, unique name that I used for him because I love my father. So we have to understand that he is a holy God. He's a righteous God. So we just don't run into his presence and just throw all our complaints on him. We have to understand that there is a way that we can approach him. So one thing I want you to learn, that a lot of times in my prayer, before I even utter one word about give me this, give me that, I honor his presence and I come into his presence. The scripture says that we come before his presence with singing. We come before his presence with thanksgiving. What you're doing is that you're saying, God, I appreciate you for who you are. So I'm going to give you an example of how a lot of times my prayer may look like when I do go into the bathroom and I'm coming before the Lord, and before I even ask one request, I put on some music that will set the atmosphere. All right. For those that are married, you know how it is, as far as like you have a wife and you would put on some music to set the atmosphere. I don't need to go any further, right? All right, good, good. So I'm just going to give you an example of, as we open up in prayer, because we've been talking about teach me how to pray. So I'm going to give you an example of how I come into the presence of God. Is that good? Okay, let us pray. Father, we love you. You're a wonderful Jehovah. You're a mighty God. We bless you. We give you the glory. We worship you, Father God, and we give you the glory and we give you the honor. Father God, who in the heaven, O God, is to be compared to you? There is no rock like you. There's no Yahweh like you. There's no Jehovah like you. You're gracious. You're wonderful. You're glorious. You're merciful. You're loving. You're beautiful. And we give you the praise. We honor your presence. We honor, Father God, your name, and we run into your name and declare safety. Now, Father God, I declare now, God, as we go through this time of prayer, Father God, I ask now, Father God, that you may descend, Lord God, upon your people. Let them experience your presence. Let them experience your power. Those that are sick, Lord God, we declare, Father God, divine healing. We ask, Father God, for those that are down and depressed, we ask, Lord God, that there be a quickening. Praise you. Worship you. We glorify your holy name. Now, Father God, take us through this word of God. And as we go through this word of God, I pray that you may open up our eyes so we may see. You said that the entrance of your word, it gives light. I love you. We appreciate you. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ and we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that's going to give you a taste as far as like when we come before the presence of the Lord, there is a proper protocol. Before we pray, you know, let's notice like in the Our Father's prayer, it doesn't run into give me this day my daily bread. It starts with Our Father, which art in heaven. You acknowledge our Heavenly Father. You acknowledge the fact that he is holy. We ask for his kingdom, for his will, for his purpose to be done. Before we even get to asking, give me this day my daily bread. All right, so I hope you catch that. I hope you got that. Well, now let's get into the Word of God. I know we've been talking about there are some hindrance to our prayers. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed by with a cloud of witness, talking about not just a cloud as far as like a cloud in the air, but a cloud speaking of multitude of people that are pushing us on and urging us on as we walk this walk of faith. And they have the Abrahams, you have the Moses, you have the Davids, you have the Mephibosheth, you have the Samuels, all those are saying, yes, go ahead, you could make it, go ahead, walk by faith, we got you, we got you. And they're urging us on. So it says, wherefore we're also compassed about a cloud of witness, let us throw off or lay aside every weight. You see the word weight? That word weight comes from the word onkos. In other words, O-N-K-O-S, onkos. It means a mass, or it gives you the idea of a bending or a bulging by the load that is on it. It also speaks of hindrance. So it's saying that we should lay aside every what? Hindrance and sin that so easily beset us. I know we've been praying. We've been praying. We've been called not to God. And all it seems as though we're not getting the breakthrough. We're not getting that answer to the prayers we've been praying. God said in his word that I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. He goes on to say that nothing is impossible with me. As a matter of fact, he also declared, he said, hey, disciples, you see that fig tree? Just like how I spoke to that fig tree, you can speak to your situation. You can speak to your cancer. You can speak to winds. You can speak to Dorian. You know what I mean? You can speak to it. You said you also could say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. You think Jesus was just saying this, speaking just to fill up words in the Bible? No, no, no. He's saying that greater works shall you do. So we see here that as we pray, God would not ask us to pray knowing in his heart that he had the intention of not answering us. God says, I want to answer you. As a matter of fact, in Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 3, it says, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. Now, so we talked about there's a hindrance. There are hindrance to our prayers, stopping us from getting the results. What is a hindrance? A hindrance is a thing that provides resistance, delay, or obstruction to something or someone, stoppage. So we talked about the fact that the first one was doubt. The first hindrance is doubt. The second was fear. The third was unbelief. And the fourth, which we're going to address today, is unforgiveness. Let's kind of take a quick review of what we have talked about. We talked about doubt. Doubt is one of the hindrances to our faith. Doubt is what the enemy uses. He used it from his same theory and same way he operated in the Garden of Eden with Eve. Had God said to introduce doubt is the same way that he's doing today. He's using the same method. So we see here doubt. We gave some words about doubt. We gave the definition of doubt. We gave some Greek words about a doubt. Like, for instance, one of them is aporio. The A speaks of without. And the poreo comes from the word poros, where you get a way or a transit. So you put those two together and you have being without a way. So doubt is being without a way, being without resource. You're at a loss. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Perplexed? You see that word perplexed? Yeah, aporio. All right, without a way. Not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. You see that? We have a bounce back mentality. No matter what we're faced with, we always bounce back. Well, anyway, that's another subject. Now, the second word was diakrino. It means to make no distinction, to waver due to lack of faith, weakness of faith. It also speaks of wavering, pulling back from what God has said. The third word that talks about doubt is distazo. It means two ways. You cut that word in half. Dis means double, and stasis is standing, so double standing. You're standing at two ways. And we gave an example of Peter when he was stepping out of the boat. And when he stepped out of the boat, he says to Jesus as he was walking on the water, is that you? If that's you, Lord, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. So he literally stepped out on the word, what Jesus said, come. And when he came to a place where he came to a crossroad. Should I continue going to Jesus? Or should I look on the storm? Should I look at the fact that I'm walking on water? Am I going to drown? He came to a crossroad where he came to two ways. So we see how that is explained. So doubt is a very divisive thing that the enemy uses. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 11, he says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, but do not what? Yes, doubt in your heart. Doubt develops in your heart. That God says, I have another way. I have another opinion. And we see where Abraham settled that. He says that, I did not consider my own body, and I did not even entertain doubt, but I was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see how that goes? I'm not going to get too deep into that because we already went over that. The second hindrance was fear. Fear, when you look at the acronym for fear, is false evidence appearing real. Fear is faith in what God, fear in what could go wrong, will go wrong. And fear is a tactic that the enemy used. Like, for instance, you see in 1 Peter 5 and 8, he says, be sober. What do you mean by be sober? Abstain from wine. Be alert. Don't be moving from side to side, but remain focused. Look, he says, be sober and be vigilant. That word vigilant means to keep awake. Why? Because your adversary, yes, the enemy is your adversary. It gives you the idea of an opponent in a lawsuit. He's your adversary. He's always coming and bringing cases to the Lord, just like he brought cases with Job. He says, look at Job, and he begins to start bringing a case and an accusation. So he's a legal devil. So it says, because your adversary, the devil, Diablos, your false accuser, he goes as a roaring lion. Didn't say he was a roaring lion, but he's used the tactics of a roaring lion. When a lion is getting ready to go after the prey, he gives out a roar to what? Stabilize, immobilize that prey. Do not know where that lion is coming from, where the voice is coming from. So the prey is nervous and just freezes. That's how the enemy works. So he comes as the adversary, as the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That shows me that he cannot just devour anyone or devour all the Christians, but he has to pick and choose to see who is operating in fear, that gives him the permission to now come in and bring his suitcase and set up his shop in your life. Well, then again, we're not dwelling on fear today. That's the second hindrance. You with me so far? So we also talked about that fact that love, the maturity of your love, the complete love, like it says in 1 John 4:18, that is what drives out fear and expels him from every trace of terror. And we also had a chance to talk about unbelief. My God, unbelief is very powerful, you know. I believe the scripture says that Jesus went to his hometown. He went to Nazareth. He went back to Boynton Beach. He went back to West Palm Beach, where he was from. And when he came to West Palm Beach, they says, isn't this the carpenter around the street? What does he have to say to me? But when he went back to Nazareth, we see that he could not do. The Bible says that he could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. In other words, people walked away unhealed, walked away with their conditions because unbelief was prevalent. And we see here that unbelief comes from two words, apatheia, which means disobedient. It also comes from the root word apatheus, which is unpersuadable. It's, I don't care what you say to me, I still don't believe. It's a condition of the heart. The second word was apistia. We understand that pistia or pistis means faith. So when you add the letter A to it, apistius, it speaks of without, because that A gives definition to the pistis and tell us that it's without it. Without it means that it's distrust. There's an unbelief. I believe in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12, it calls unbelief evil, the evil heart of unbelief, the evil heart of unbelief. So, you know, I could go deep into this, but like I said again, I'm not dwelling on that. I want to get to where we are going, and that's the fourth hindrance. And what do you think it is? Yes, you got it. Unforgiveness. Now, this is very big, very, very big. This is one of the hindrances to our prayers. Can you name some of the people that have wronged you, have come across you, have done some very terrible things to you, and you have held that individual in your heart and says, I refuse to forgive. Pastor, you don't know what my husband did to me. You don't know what my wife did to me. You don't know what that knucklehead of a child, oh, sorry about that. You don't know what my child did to me. You don't know what my coworker, my neighbor did to me. And the list goes on. You don't know even what my pastor did to me. He did some stuff to me. I love my pastors. I've just given that as an example. So we see here that sometimes we will hold unforgiveness in our heart. For those that don't know, I go to a prison ministry by the name of Kirex. And this Kirex, I love Kirex so much. We had a chance to go to a facility. And when we go to the facility, there's a particular time of the four-day weekend where we have a forgiveness service. And in this service, we give the candidates an opportunity to write down on a rice paper people that they have kept in their heart, they have not forgiven, Father, themselves, you know, the list goes on and on. And then we will circle around a bowl, we'll pray, and then we will put it in the bowl as a symbolic of releasing that person. And talk about just a dynamic time of people feeling like a weight that came off of them. This is a very important topic. And a lot of times, even in our church, you know, we see we can go into a church and there's prejudice, there is unforgiveness. Someone did something to you and you just hold them up in your heart. Now, let me get into it because I'm kind of talking and I'm talking, but I think it's good stuff, isn't it? That's right, that's right. So the fourth one is what? Yes, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Now, first of all, let's look at Mark chapter 11, verses 22. All right, I want you to turn there with me, and I'm going to give you some time to turn with me. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 26. Let's start reading. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Have faith in God. For surely or verily I say unto you, whosoever," so that means you're in there, "says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them." 25. This is the part I want you to catch. "And whenever you do what? Stand praying." Let me read that again. "Whenever you stand praying," when you now position yourself to pray, "if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses." 26. "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." That's big. If you do not forgive, then your Father in heaven cannot forgive your trespasses. So it's important to remove this hindrance, to move and to go and to address those situations that's in your heart that you've held your granddad, you've held your father, you've held that person that wronged you in your heart. And he says, "I refuse to forgive." Not realizing that as a result of you holding that in your heart, then you give the enemy permission to come in and to introduce cancer, high blood pressure, and all these different diagnoses that the doctor says, "I can't do anything for you." And I believe that there's some people out there, if you would just forgive, that diagnosis that you have will literally just go away. Yes, it will. I promise you that. Now, let's look at this word forgive. This word forgive comes from the word aphame. 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 It means, this word forgive means to send forth or to send away. It also gives the other meaning. The apo comes from the word from and the himi, to send. So it means to send away, to send away. It gives you the idea of a complete removal of the cause of the offense. A complete removal of the cause of offense. The second meaning comes from the word charizomia. For those that are the Greek scholars, I'm not necessarily a Greek scholar, but the word charis is where you get the word grace. You remember Paul says, "My grace is sufficient." So the first part of the word is charis, charizomia. So if you put those together, it means to what? To bestow a favor. All right. It means to bestow a favor unconditionally, to forgive, to forgive. And we can see that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 32, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13, and Colossians chapter 3, verses 13. Next week, I'm going to go over this again so we kind of sink deeper into it, because I see I only have like almost a little bit over 2 minutes left. Now, in Luke chapter 23, verses 34, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, the script, he says, "Jesus, forgive them." He was using the word aphame. It was saying Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." We also see in Matthew chapter 6, verses 12, it says, forgive us of our debts. You remember the Our Father prayer? Yeah, we're very familiar with that. It says, forgive us of our debts. In other words, something owed, a due. We have wronged you. It says, and we, as we forgive our debtors, we are owner or the person indebted. So God is telling us that if you don't address this, it will be hard for your prayer to get through. We see a great example of that with Stephen. You know, Stephen, he was being stoned. He was preaching the gospel. They got angry at him. They pick up some stone and says, man, they rushed him. And they were just glaring at the teeth and says, man, we're going to kill you. And as they were throwing stones, think about this, as they were throwing stones to him, while in the act, he says, do not charge them with this sin, Lord. In other words, Stephen, while he was getting hit in the head with stones, he says, Lord, forgive them because they know not what they do. All right. Well, next week, we're going to get a chance to get deeper into this because I believe that this is a very important topic that we need to address. Our churches need to address individually, corporately. We have to address it. And I believe that if you would just remove that unforgiveness and forgive, you begin to start seeing that river begins to start flowing. Forgiveness is like that dam that a beaver builds that stop things from flowing to you. But when you remove that dam, when you move that hindrance of forgiveness, unforgiveness, you begin to start seeing things begin to start flourishing in your life. Flourishing in your body, flourishing in your emotions, I mean your soul, your mind, your will, and your intellect. You think, you go to sleep now. You see your spirit begins to get more vibrant and in the things of the Lord. Well, once again, I just want to say that I'm so thankful for this opportunity of just talking with you. I really enjoy just talking with you and just sharing this information with you, and I hope this information will be a blessing to you. I pray that you would just call us at 561-383-6574 and also hit us up on our website, maranathainter.org, and also come out and worship with us this Sunday at 10 a.m. And I pray that God's riches and his blessings will be upon you, is my prayer. God bless you.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574. 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. Tune in for Born to Win with Ronald L. Dart right here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Sunday morning at 7. And we'll talk about whether you were born to lose or born to win. And visit us online at borntowin.net.
You're the joy I know, the treasure I hold dear.